it. Open up your mind. So if you don't believe food will make you fat, it won't. Okay? How's that? If you don't believe food will make you fat, then it won't make you fat. This is really great news for perpetual dieters, and it's a really interesting concept. My guest today, author of the book called Freedom from Food, Patricia Bish is the name of the author. She's compiled a ton of scientific data, years of hands-on practice, all of this to be able to say this very thing. The way you think about your food and what you're eating can result, has a direct reflection on your being thin and healthy for life. Even if thinness isn't an issue for you, healthy for life is an issue for you, then that's right there. So, Patricia, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure. So how did you come up with this concept that if you think that the food will make you fit, then it will? That actually is the positive of that.
Great. Well, thank you for asking that. There is abundant scientific evidence that our thoughts and emotions affect our body now. So I'm happy to say that although I proved this to myself and many others have 30 years ago, now there is abundant scientific evidence that is showing and proving this. Max Planck, who is the father of quantum physics and Nobel Prize winner, said that the mind is the matrix of all matter. So on and on, scientists are showing the incredible strength of our mind when we apply it and how it can really change our physical form.
Well, tell a little bit about how you got into this and why was food an issue for you and why dieting? Out of all the things you could talk about, what's your background in all of this?
30 years ago, I was a junk food junkie. I used to go to liquor stores and not buy liquor. People said, did you buy liquor? No. I used to buy the little candy bars and the little Twinkies or, you know, Susie Q's, whatever, the little cakes and ice creams and candy and go to my car and eat it all and to sedate myself. I believe I was sedating a deep, deep pain inside me, an anxiety, a place maybe I didn't feel loved enough or I felt separate from others. It was a betrayal, a pain inside of me. And food really was my protector. It was my shield. And it helped me get through my day when it was a thing I could give myself when maybe I wasn't getting it from the world.
That's interesting. So when you get to the bottom of an emotional disorder where it comes to eating, there's always an underlying sense of pain underneath it. Is that what you're saying?
I think all eaters have that in common. And we're such an addictive society. I think anyone who has any addiction, underneath it all, with what we're going through, there's some betrayal, some deep pain that we're trying to soothe, or critical judgments, or way people have been attacking us. And when we can't do it emotionally, we're not strong enough, then we go to whether it's alcohol or exercise, even over exercising or workaholics or drugs. We try to find something to soothe ourselves. And I think the whole world is doing that these days because there's so much stress going on.
It's interesting. I mean, stuff happens as children and it's just a matter of perception. I mean, even if what happens to a child is not considered, quote, bad, a child could perceive it and tweak it as something that is devastating to them and hold on to that until, as we grow as adults, years of compounding emotions with that same emotion, compounding over and over and over of betrayal, 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 or you know, whatever it is. It winds up manifesting itself into a disease or a disorder or an addiction or something like that. How do we at some point just get over it? You know?
Haven't we all tried to get over it? Don't you wish we could just wipe it away? But that hasn't worked, or I would have done that.
But why? Why doesn't it work? Can't we all just get over our stuff?
Yes. And I think there is a place, you know, when emotions start looping around and we go over and over and over the same stuff and there's no information, there is a time when we need to step out of it in order to heal ourselves. Actually, part of the process in the book, how someone heals themselves, is by holding a stand and a focus, which is outside of the emotional realm. For example, if you look at an Olympic balance beam contestant,
mm-hmm.
when they're walking across that balance beam, they have to really focus. It's like standing on one leg and, you know, how you have to focus on a point on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold that focus or you're going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same when you're healing, when you're at that point and you've already looked at the emotions and you've uncovered what isn't working. When it's time to focus and heal, then there's a focus that you need to learn. I call it taking a stand. And you learn how to focus to the point where the sabotaging thoughts, the thoughts that, oh, food will make you gain weight. You know, your mother was heavy and so will you be. What are some of the other great ones? I just look at food and I gain weight. You know, I have a slow metabolism. All of the messages we get. There's a place where when you hold this focus that I talk about, after you've developed the empowerment of your consciousness, Eckhart Tolle talks about it too. In presence, sabotaging thoughts cannot take hold of you.
Presence mean in that state of focus you're talking
about.
Yes,
thank you. As a matter of fact, there was something I wanted to read today. This is great by Dr. Bruce Carlson. He's a leading cell biologist.
Uh-huh.
And he tells us that at the base of every leaf is the spore of a new bud waiting to grow in its place. As long as the old leaf stays attached, the new growth is stalled because the old leaf secretes chemicals that inhibit new growth. But once the old leaf lets go, and that's the key, once he lets go and the leaf dies, the growth inhibitors are removed and the next leaf is possible. Now, this is the same thing that happens inside of us. When we have built and cultivated an environment built on fear, built on food as our enemy that will hurt us, you know, oh my God, there are so many messages now. We can't eat this. We can't eat carbohydrates and we can't eat this. We better eat that. So, you know, and the proportions and we better do this amount of exercise and we better, you know, it's so many ways which fear is built in. So we have cultivated an environment where we're afraid to eat anything. First, we're supposed to eat margarine. Then we're not supposed to eat margarine.
And then there's the diet of, you know, you lose 50 pounds and then you gain it back and then you lose it and you gain it back. And so you just don't have any faith in diets anymore because they don't work because you're not changing the way you think about food, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
And those are the people I like, the ones who have finally given up dieting, because the thing that I want to say is nobody really loses weight on a diet. At least I remember not losing weight.
Well, yeah. My mom, I hope she's listening to the show because that's her story. She's just done diet after diet after diet and she's done. Somebody else was saying the same thing and they're like, oh, I want to go back to try this one diet. And the other person said, oh, it's changed since you've tried it. Try it again. I mean, there's no faith in diets anymore because I believe it's about the mindset. So what is your quantum physics approach to food? Because we're going to talk about this a lot. What do you feel about it? What do you look at food as? Energy, right?
Yes. Quantum physics looks at the whole world as fluctuating waves of energy. So no longer are they looking at that candy bar or that ice cream, let alone a chair or a desk or anything. You know, Einstein taught us the world is really made up of energy slowed down to appear like mass. But when you really look at it, scientists have shown us that it's fluctuating waves of energy. So if you start changing your consciousness and you start seeing, let's say, that ice cream, not that I am recommending people go out and eat ice cream, but it wouldn't matter if you fed me ice cream or a piece of celery or a carrot. It doesn't really matter. I look at it as fluctuating waves of energy, more like bubbles of energy. Think of it as champagne bubbles or like air. And so once you think of it like that, you know how when you blow on a bubble, it just kind of you know, wafts into the air.
It moves.
Uh-huh. It moves so easily. Well, really, that's what's happening with our thoughts. You know, this is energy that's mostly empty space, all the food we eat. So when we put in a directive with our mind, then if you could picture it like bubbles of energy moving around to go where we direct it.
The food, you mean?
That's right.
Okay, keep going. I need more explanation on this. Okay, so give me an example.
Okay, so I want to talk about, for a moment, Dr. Emoto has written a book on water. Now, our bodies are 70% water. So this is very important information for us. And what he showed, and he has pictures of it, that when someone said a word like love, as opposed to hate, mm-hmm. the water crystal changed shape immediately.
With the word love, yes.
Yes, and with hate. You get
true.
You know, yeah. And so what he showed was that it really mattered what we thought, every word we said. So when we say, oh, that ice cream is going right to my hips, or, you know, that avocado, or people have it on with calories, you know, oh my God, that has so many calories in that cashew. I can never eat a cashew. I remember the time in my life when I couldn't eat a sandwich. The thought of eating two pieces of bread, you know, along with what I ate was impossible. I envied people who could eat a sandwich
because
and not gain weight.
You thought that you would gain weight from it. And so now how did you change all of this? You had started talking about your story a little bit. How did you shift from that Twinkie donut eating person to now you have this wonderful physique and you're vibrant and healthy and there's no issues around it?
Well, how it started 30 years ago was I studied the mind-body connection. I studied it for 8 years. So I don't want to just, you know, put out to people that this is something they don't have to cultivate. You know, they don't have to nurture. They don't have to develop a practice with. I was studying once a week the mind-body connection. Now, I've developed a program that people don't have to do 8 years of this, mm-hmm. you know, that this can just take it on for some months or give yourself a practice 5 minutes a day. You know, give a gift to yourself of holding a different way of thinking and watch what happens. But so I went to the man I was studying with and I said, well, it's wonderful. I know how to heal all these diseases. But the fact is, I'm a junk food junkie and I'm totally out of control and addicted to food. He didn't even know what that was. You can always tell when someone doesn't know what that is when he said, well, why don't you just stop eating? That's a good laugh, isn't it? As if we hadn't thought of that.
Right, right.
And so I informed him what that was. And he said, he meet me after class, and he put together a meditation. Now, I want to say that the truth is very simple. It's not difficult. It's building the consciousness around it so that it's like if you plant a seed, you know, you have to cultivate it for it to grow. So planting, you know, the seed is not complex. It's actually quite easy, and I have it all written in the program. So, but developing the consciousness is what takes time. Nurturing that new way of thinking, and then you begin to build a foundation. So he said to do that. He said, "I want you to." I had studied 8 years. So he said, I want you to get on a scale, weigh yourself. Let's get down to it, you know,
okay.
Where the rubber meets the road. You know, I want you to get on the scale. I want you to see how much you weigh. I mm-hmm. want you to put the scale away. And I want you to go out and eat whatever you want, whenever you want it, at whatever times of day you want it. Now, I was a mother and a teacher. I was not a yogini, mm-hmm. you know, in any way. This was difficult. I was at my top weight. I was frightened to do this. But I decided, what did I have to lose? Aren't we all just helplessly and hopelessly at the mercy of these diets that don't work? You know, we've tried millions. So I was willing to try something new. And I did realize that what you give your attention to does expand. And I knew that. I'd studied that. So I decided to go for it. And in 2 weeks, when I got back on the scale, I ate and ate and ate. Much to my amazement, I had empowered my mind enough that the scale had not changed. And I was this junk food junkie. I'm telling you that. Mm-hmm. So
you ate whatever you wanted in terms of junk food.
Yes. Unfortunately, at that time, that's what I was eating.
Uh-huh.
I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. And then I proceeded to lose weight the same way.
So it showed. OK, so what you did is you just changed the way that you felt about it, right? Or you figured out it wasn't going to be a big issue any longer. You just went forward with it.
Well, I had studied. So I didn't just jump off that cliff without having a foundation under me.
Oh, okay. So you applied the principles that you'd studied.
I did. I really knew the power of my mind. So just like that person on the balance beam, mm-hmm. I learned. I knew how to hold my thinking, how to go into trusting my body. That's another thing I'd like to talk to you about the inherent perfection that is in our body and how we can trust our body.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that we were born from birth with our perfect body blueprint. Within that blueprint is homeostasis, for one thing, so that when our temperature goes too high or goes too low, our body automatically has a regulator and a balancer in it. We were born with it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do affirmations to say, go back now to your perfect temperature. Mm-hmm. It just does it. Now, we were also born with kidneys, the skin, the liver. We have our so many ways in which our body was made to eliminate anything that's toxic to us. When I was a child, and I remember getting my first cut and scraping my knee, you know, first when you see blood, it can be a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, blood, what do I do? But what I observed is that my body would then all of a sudden form a scab after a couple of days, and then it would heal, and then the scab would come off, and then all of a sudden there was not even a mark there. So all of a sudden, what I began to see was that there is a system that works in our body that we don't have to tell it to. We almost have to just get out of the way. So we're not just prepared to just get out of the way without developing the consciousness like I'm talking about, developing the new beliefs, building an environment where those new beliefs can grow, where we can hold it. But then you can trust your body. The difference between me and other people is they say, well, Patricia, you know, how come you can eat whatever you want and not gain weight?
I know. I understand that part. I'm just trying to grasp onto the concept that you're talking about here. So if I were to all of a sudden change my mind about this concept, what is it? Like, what do I hold? What am I wrapping my mind around with the concept? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay. Good. There are many, many things. There's like a whole environment of thoughts that you are going to cultivate. For instance, one is this concept that food is energy. So it's not just intellectual, because that, of course, won't do anything for us. We have to really understand that. So by visualizations, by beginning to look at food differently, by looking at the scientific proof, by when you're eating saying, ah, this food is going through me, I realize it's energy and it can make me lighter and healthier. And just beginning to cultivate by learning to trust. This is the building. Learning to trust the body, seeing why we should trust the body, learning how the body works. You know, these are all the chapters that I've written, so that people begin to have a trust. Okay, well, if I let go, will my body really eliminate what I just ate? Will it know that I don't need it?
So what type of thoughts are you thinking when you're eating, say you have a piece of chocolate cake? What are you thinking about that?
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. I have a knowing. Now, before I had to have a thinking and just a trust, But now I have a knowing. So you can just think, this is just going right through me. I know it's energy. I trust my body to take what it needs and then eliminate the rest. So it's a trust in your body when you're eating certain things. So it just promotes it to go right through.
So do you eat food for fuel to keep going? Because if you don't eat, then you get fainty and that's not good. I mean, if you eat food for fuel and then you just you don't obsess over the part of about gaining the weight from it, or you shouldn't eat that because it's sinful foods, or so we know what not to think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Neutral energy.
Okay. So if we know what not to think, what do we think?
Okay. So you're thinking, like I said, you're thinking of food differently energetically. You're thinking, okay, I just ate a meal where I ate too much.
I
ate too many pancakes.
Overate.
We all have done that. Mm-hmm. Well, in the morning, everyone knows, or by the next day, we're not stuffed anymore. It's gone someplace.
Okay.
So what I do is I trust my body. I go, oh my God, I'm scared. You know, I stuffed myself. My old thinking would go, this is going right to my hips.
Okay.
What I do now is I go, oh, all right. I trust my body. I don't know how it does it, but I trust my body to eliminate it in some way out of my body, and so that it doesn't cause me to gain weight. Or sometimes we might look down and say, oh my God, it looks like I've gained a few pounds. You know, I'm holding on, or I'm bloated. Well, bloat doesn't equal fat. It's just bloated. And so what I tell myself is, okay, bloat doesn't equal fat. And I trust my body. Once again, this is where the trust is. And the message is, I trust my body to eliminate whatever is bloating me at that time and go back to its perfect proportion, its perfect way of running. That is what every thin person knows in their perfect proportion, and that everybody who isn't wants to know.
So there was a study that you talked about that people said, if the people that were naturally or did not have an issue with any type of weight issues, those types of people had no issue around food, right? Tell me a little bit about that, because you cited that in your book.
Yes, actually, Sandra Ray did a study many years ago, and the study she did is exactly what I proved to myself and that has happened with the people that I work with. And it's astounding. But what she discovered when she interviewed people who were thin and in their perfect proportion, she wanted to see what thoughts they were holding. And the thought that they all had in common was exactly the thought I wrote about. The thought was they could eat whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted it, and didn't gain weight.
That was their thought.
Okay. Now, it sounds so simplistic. We think, oh my God, that can't be. But don't you know people who are thin and you go, how can you do that? How come you can eat all that food and you don't gain any weight? I just even look at that food and I gain weight.
Well, so I understand the thought process about it, and that if you think that it's not an issue, it won't be an issue. But what about the hard fact of the fats and the calories and the trans fats and those types of things that you eat that are not healthy, or they can stick to the fat cells or whatnot? I mean, how does that work?
I had the same question. So what about calories? And so I looked it up in the dictionary. And much to my amazement, as I was looking at the whole world as energy now, and food is energy, the definition of calories and carbohydrates, calories are heat units of energy. It didn't say anything about weight units. And I thought, boy, that's really strange. They're heat units. And then I thought, well, we're not hibernating. I don't know anyone who is. And so what I began to understand is, once again, I trusted my body to take the heat, which it automatically does. I don't have to tell it to. And whatever it needs, the heat, and release the rest. So I may eat more calories, but what that's saying is I'm eating more heat units of energy.
Okay, so the heat units that you basically just burn off of your body utilizes as fuel once again, right?
Yes, and then I was taught, the man who I studied the mind-body approach from taught me that our metabolism actually was also controlled by our mind. Now, I didn't believe that at first, but I did notice that in the two-week period that happened with me, my metabolism, obviously, I didn't do a study of it, but obviously I was gaining weight from everything I ate. And in 2 weeks after I changed and held that focus, which, you know, part of this program is how to hold a focus. I don't want to make this like something that people don't have to study. But after those 2 weeks, food would just go right through me, like the people who don't are in their perfect proportion.
So is it fair to say that most people hang on to these negative patterns, these negative thought patterns about food without really even consciously knowing it, and that they can they have these unconscious tapes that run that just say, oh, I can't eat this, it's going to make me fat, or if I eat too much, or I'm gaining weight. And I mean, it's just these unconscious programs are making us fat. And if you really change with a lot of discipline and focus those unconscious programs by making the positive ones conscious, then the felt melts away. I mean, the felt and the fat melts away. Right. Okay. So is that kind of the concept that you're talking about? Did you get that because of my tongue twister?
Yes, I did. And I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, all meditation has studied this monkey mind. And you don't have to study meditation to know the monkey mind we have. Our mind will take us on any journey.
I've never heard the technical term monkey mind.
The monkey mind.
Okay.
You know, and let go, what I found in my own experience and those I'm close to and talk to, is if you let my mind go, it seems to delve into patterns of where I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, where I'm going to fail, I'm less than, you know, all the list of the not enough. So actually, my mind seems to go and go, whether I want it to or not. Now, it can be really out of control. So if we don't harness the power of our mind, which is an incredibly strong, and our emotions, which is the energy and, you know, E for energy behind the motion, it's the motion behind the words, the energy behind the words and the thoughts we use. If we don't harness it in one way, our mind can take us on the journey, and it has. So you're right. It is like a roller coaster of our mind taking us. And unless we decide, and it is a decision, you know, I hope it's a gift that everyone will give themselves and at least just try out a new way. The old stuff isn't working. You know,
yeah, if it isn't, right.
If it isn't, and at least attempt or try to see what their mind and emotions can do when they're aligned.
Well, I think a lot of this is going to be held if people want to give us a call. My guest is Patricia Bish, and we're talking about her book and program, Freedom from Food. It's a quantum weight loss approach. You can give us a call here at 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. I think it would be great if people called in and asked you questions, because then we could see how this is in terms of practical application. So if people have issues with weight or with food and want to talk to Patricia, give us a call here. That's 818-985-5735. Also, the first three people that call will get a copy of Patricia's book, Freedom from Food, A Quantum Weight Loss Approach, which is which explains all of this and your journey and so forth and how you got to this place in your life and this and the concept. But basically what you're talking about is that you can change the way that you think about food in terms of looking at it as this from this quantum physics approach. Instead of viewing it as solid and dense, you could view it as something that has heat units and energy that flows through your body that doesn't stick to you. Is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, well, this could help with a lot of things because health is about not holding on to toxins, and it's about not holding on to, fat and so forth. You know, that's something that comes with that definitely is associated with health. So the first three callers definitely get a copy of her book, and Tani's going to take your phone calls right now. And so what you were talking about with the – you kind of compared this to a Newtonian concept. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, the Newtonian concept, the old view of the world, was looking at our world as a physical world. So what you see is what you get. You know, the chair is the chair. Or like, let me say it another way, like Magellan, when he was sailing across the ocean, he looked out and the world looked flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how everyone thought it was. So that was the thought. And then we found out, of course, that it was not flat. So it's the same way with the Newtonian approach. What we see is not always what's accurate. Matter of fact, it's not at all. So when people are looking at it, auras, people have talked about auras and how when they photograph you with Carillion photography, you can see that actually we're moving. We're not the outline of our bodies that we see. We're much more expanded than that.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know. All right. What we're going to do is we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will take your phone calls and find out if you have any questions about freedom from food and the weight loss approach and so forth. Give us a call. 818-985-5735, and we will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.
The Skirball Cultural Center announces the 12th season of its free sunset concerts, celebrating musical traditions from around the globe, Thursday nights this summer. The season kicks off Thursday, July 17th, with singer-songwriter and guitarist Cheka, hailed for breathing new life into the music of Cape Verde, a West African island nation. Transmosing the percussive beats of batuku, a musical genre traditionally played by women and specific to the island of Santiago, Cheka sings of love, friendship, tragedy, hope, and joy set against the backdrop of life in Cape Verde. Cheka in concert, free at the Skirball, Thursday, July 17th. Doors open at 7. For more information, call 310-440-4500 or visit kpfk.org. KPFK is a media sponsor for Sunset Concerts at the Skirball.
Hi, I'm just sitting here talking to Patricia. I noticed that she's my guest is Patricia Bish. The name of the book is called Freedom from Food, A Quantum Weight Loss Approach. And I noticed that you are an EMDR specialist, which can you explain to people what that is?
Yes, EMDR is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And that is a specialization in post-traumatic stress disorders. Now, I do believe that all of us, when we're betrayed in some way, have gone through some trauma and it gets locked into our body. And though we do things to just function over it, the trauma still pulses deep inside of us and is affecting us. So that often can be at the root of why people, you know, eat to help that anxiety from that trauma that's pulsing. So I really recommend that along with doing this new approach, that people get help on the deep-seated issues inside of them from some health professional that they trust. So you don't want to keep doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. That's what
right.
Einstein said
right.
is insanity.
Uh-huh.
So we want to try new things and expand our mind and our possibilities.
So you've been doing that for 30 years and you have experience helping with, I mean, what we opened the show with, talking about the emotional pain behind emotional eating.
Yes.
Absolutely needs to be addressed. And I didn't want to gloss over that as of, oh, yeah, so you have this horrible thing about betrayal. Next, let's just talk. I mean, I really wanted to honor the fact that people have deep emotional issues around food. When emotional eating is going on, there's a need there to soothe the pain that is inside of them. The great news is that that's your background of 30 years of experience in emotional release techniques is a terrific background to have. And on top of that, you're a specialist where it comes with, or expert in food and weight loss and so forth, because that's the physical manifestation of the pain that's attempted to be covered up. So I definitely wanted to mention that you have that background. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to the phones because lots of people are calling in about this. And we're talking about weight loss and being free from this kind of constraint that food holds over us. Richard in Diamond Bar. Richard, do you have a comment or a question for Patricia Bish? For some reason, that line is not... Okay, not working. Got it. Sorry. Well, we'll go back to the phones in just a second. One of the things that I wanted to ask you earlier is about how you programmed your body to heal itself from the unhealthy excess weight. I mean, weight is fine, but if it's unhealthy weight, and I think that we should definitely qualify that. And we're not talking about being these waif-like, paper-thin, the things that you see on bulletin boards and billboards and magazines and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about body image. What is the ideal weight for each person? I know an individual is very, very varied, but what is the ideal weight? Like, how do you look at body image?
Thank you so much, because we are a very sick thinking society. And when I first healed myself, I didn't know if I was thin enough or not. We have such a distorted image. So once again, back to that word trust, it seems to be the theme on this show. And it's one of the themes in my life. You know, there is a perfect proportion that lives within us. And it is not the liposuctioned. It is not the, you know, the Twiggies or the models that have starved themselves to death. There is a perfect, and I've dealt with models and I've dealt with actresses who have to be in front of that camera. There is a beautiful, perfect proportion in each one of us, and it's different for each one. You know, a Twiggy is not Sophia Loren, but they're just equally as beautiful, and they have a perfect proportion. Everything in nature has a perfect proportion. You see it. Like, you would never look at a tree out in the wild and go, oh, my God, that's a fat tree. You wouldn't call it fat or thin. You would just say, oh, that's tree. Mm-hmm. And there is an automatic knowing that it's in its perfect proportion. It's true with flowers, and it's true with wild animals, not the domesticated ones. We sometimes fix them and do man-made ideas. But bulimia and anorexia, these are things that aren't in nature. These are man-made concepts. In nature, everything takes in what it needs and releases what it doesn't. And
True, very true.
There is a perfect proportion inside of us, and a flow that actually is right there waiting for us to tap into it. We can tap into that flow. It's in us. We can't get rid of us like the trees. It's our very essential core, but we have to find our way back, the bridge back to that flow. And that's what I'm trying to do. Like, most people have a time in their life when they were on a vacation, or they were in love, or they were a child, that they could eat whatever they wanted and they didn't gain weight. And so there is some memory. I'm not teaching people what isn't already inside of them.